broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, first Saturday of 2023. I want to top the show out by thanking our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet, which will run through early April and Florida Derby weekend. We'll be down then. I'm looking forward to that, get to a little warm weather. Although, as I said yesterday, can't really complain about the winter so far here in upstate New York. Hasn't been too bad. But again, thanks to the folks at Gulfstream for their sponsorship during the championship meet. Speaking of Gulfstream, we'll talk to our colleague a little bit later on, Brian Addo, at Gulfstream, and we'll talk a little bit about the new wager from First Stronach Group, essentially, that combines some races at Gulfstream, some races at Santa Anita, the new Coast to Coast Pick 5. We'll take a look at that sequence a little bit later on. But we're going to kick things off just about an hour and a half or so. They will announce the finalists for the 2022 Eclipse Awards. And I thought in anticipation of that, we would reach out to our friend Mike McAdam, sports writer from the Daily Gazette, virtually every day in the press box up at Saratoga, covering horse racing up there, covers horse racing throughout the year as part of the sports writing assignment as the Gazette as well. And so I thought we'd kind of match up our Eclipse ballots in anticipation of the finalists being announced. Mike, good morning.
Hey, Seth. Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Happy to have you on. And before we get to Eclipse, any thoughts on the horse racing scene in general over 2022? We talked a little bit on the handicapping show earlier and last week. Have to tip our cap to Dylan Davis, winding up to be the leading rider all year long in New York. That was a nice feather in his cap. Chad Brown wound up to be the leading trainer overall in New York. Once again, we had a very good Saratoga meet, evidenced by what we'll be talking about in a couple of minutes. I think a lot of the Eclipse horses will have shown up at Saratoga this past year. So I thought overall a pretty good year, and certainly a pretty good year in New York.
Yeah, terrific year for New York. The one thing I keep going back to is specifically for the Saratoga meet is they hit $870 million in handle, prompting NYRA president CEO Dave O'Rourke to speculate that it's only a matter of a few years now before they hit the B word, $1 billion in all sources handle for the Saratoga meets. Kind of the thing that one of the things that jumps out at you if you're a racing fan at the spa and you're around here. Following the sport. Saw a lot of terrific stuff, a lot of the usual suspects at Saratoga, and a lot of it translated, A, to the Breeders' Cup, and B, to what we anticipate will happen with the Eclipse Awards when they come out. I guess they're going to be the finalists are today, as you already mentioned, and then January 26th is when we'll find out who the actual winners are.
Yeah, looking forward to it. There are a couple of categories I'm going to be interested to see where you went and what the thinking is. There are some slam dunks, but a couple of categories. The three-year-old, I'm interested to see after the awards are announced in a few weeks what the voting totals are there. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's start out. And again, I said it, there are some slam dunks, and I'll ask you, I would assume you would agree, I would assume everybody would agree, and I think the voting totals in this these couple of categories are going to be evidence of that. The two-year-old male, the two-year-old female, we'll take a look at Forte on the male side winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and Wonder Wheel on the female side winning the Breeders' Cup, and it seems like in the two-year-old categories, Forte and Wonder Wheel are just going to be, as I say, slam dunks.
Yeah, the funny thing is, when I filled out my ballot, I think the day of they were due, I filed it and I said, okay, I don't have to think about this anymore. And then you texted me yesterday and I went back this morning and went through everything and kind of rated each category by level of easiness, and the two-year-old male and two-year-old female were certainly in the slam dunk category, as you already mentioned. Didn't hurt that they both won their respective Breeders' Cup races, Forte and Wonder Wheel. I will say that in general, I've been doing this for about 10 years now as far as voting for the Eclipse Awards. I tend to avoid using the Breeders' Cup exclusively as the primary criteria to make my picks. You know, I like to view it as a year-long type of thing and a year, you know, an annual kind of resume award, and then the Breeders' Cup is something that gets you know, heavy weight, of course. But you know, these two were in position to win Eclipse Awards going into the Breeders' Cup, and then, you know, just finish the job by winning and kind of showing themselves of who they are on the biggest stage of the year.
Yeah, and I'll go back. I've mentioned this a couple of times. I had Mark Cassie on with me on the backstretch at Saratoga before the spin away.
Yeah.
He clearly was very high on Wonder Wheel. But he made a comment during the show. He said, you know, he's talking to one of his owners maybe or one of his assistants, and he said, you know, it takes about five races before you really know a horse. Well, it turned out race number five in the career was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. So I think now he pretty well knows Wonder Wheel.
Yeah, and he seemed sort of brash and brazen at the time. I can't remember who he compared her to off the top of my head, but he threw a name out there, a couple names, and this was like months and months ago, and you're like, wow, you know, that's pretty substantial claim by him, but he knew what he was talking about clearly based on the way she kind of took it off the sheet and just, you know, finished off a spectacular season. You know, her only loss was in the spinaway at Saratoga all year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see both of those, Forte and Wonder Wheel, now move on to the three-year-old season. And speaking of three-year-olds, this is one of the categories I was interested to hear what you had to say, because I've been hearing the past week folks talking about their ballots and whatnot, and we've talked about it here, talking with Anthony Mormino over the past few weeks. And he likes Modern Games. He would have put Modern Games on top. I did not do that. And Anthony Mormino says it's likely to be Epicenter, and we're going to take a look at Epicenter winning the Travers here. And I went with Epicenter on top. Taba squarely put his hat in the ring, though, with the win a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half or so ago, out at Santa Anita in the Malibu, added another grade one. So Taba's in the conversation. I put Modern Games third, but a lot of folks weren't convinced because of the turf with Modern Games. But he beat older horses, so I thought he deserved to be in the conversation. But a lot of people had Cyberknife in their mix as well. I'm intrigued to hear how you parsed out the three-year-olds.
Yeah, my third place in that was really, you know, I agonized. It's so funny. You know, a lot of the categories you can fill out quickly on top, and I spend more time trying to pick out the second and third, which ultimately is kind of insignificant because the top pick is the only one that they consider for the actual award itself. So third place in the three-year-old male, I really took a look. I did not use Modern Games, and I kind of, in the back of my head, I knew he was going to show up somewhere else. And I do kind of lean toward giving more credit for the dirt. You know, I know you shouldn't do that as an absolute, but this year it seemed reasonable to do that. So I had Epicenter on top, and then Taba, you know, certainly made it interesting at the end there. I had him second, and then, I threw Jack Christopher in there. There was a point in the middle of this year where I thought Jack Christopher was the best three-year-old dirt male in the country. This was before Saratoga started, and I actually wrote a column about it. And, you know, he had a disappointing end to the season, of course, but at some point I said, you know, you got to pick somebody for third, so just use him. Epicenter I picked over Taba primarily because he just had this very consistent full campaign, just never had any drop-off. One thing that Steve Ashmussen was very proud of and marveled about after the Travers was that they were able to kind of gave him a little bit of a breather prior to the Saratoga season, but were able to really recapture the form that he had in the Derby and Preakness when he finished, you know, very heartbreaking, gut-wrenching second place in both races to two different horses. And so he just had a very consistent full campaign. The one, you know, probably the most disappointing thing for me in the Breeders' Cup was him getting hurt on the backstretch and not finishing. You know, he's not going to beat Flightline. That's fine. I don't care about that. But All week, everybody was raving, and by everybody, I mean Chad Brown, who was stabled, had his horses stabled with Asmussen in the same barn at Keeneland, and was, you know, I was talking to Chad, I think the Thursday before Breeders' Cup, and went through his whole roster, and I don't know, I just threw it out there, what do you think about Epicenter? He said, well, I see that horse every day, and I'm really looking forward to, just from looking at his fitness and just what he looks like, just from seeing him firsthand every day. He was very interested in seeing how Epicenter would do in the Breeders' Cup. So that notwithstanding, I just thought he had a very full, successful, I just thought he was the best three-year-old male all year anyway. You know, you throw out the Breeders' Cup Classic. I know, like, Baffert was kind of politicking last year for using the Breeders' Cup Classic as the decider for three-year-old male, and I think even said after the race that his horse was, you know, finished, even though he didn't win, finished the highest among the three-year-olds, and that should be taken into consideration. I think we saw a little bit of an attempt on that with Taba in the Classic this year, but I wasn't buying it, and just from going back to what I said earlier about it being a sort of a campaign, full campaign kind of award, as opposed to the Breeders' Cup being the singular criterion, Epicenter, I just thought, was the best three-year-old male all year, and he certainly showed it in the Travers.
Yeah, everything you said, I totally agree with. Year-long award, Epicenter had a great year, solid record. I'm with you. I would have loved to have seen him get a real shot in the Breeders' Cup Classic. That would have been a great way to end the season, a good performance by him. So that was a little bit disappointing. But I was with you. Taba, though, with the win in the Malibu, definitely tossed his name in the ring and had to be considered with the three grade ones. And as again, I put Modern Games in the third slot. But I'm going to be really interested to see when the awards are given and the next day the vote totals come out. I'm going to be interested to see how close this winds up being in the end between Epicenter and Taba.
I couldn't quite pick up what you were saying there, Seth.
I'm going to be interested to see when the vote totals come out, you know, the day after.
Oh, yeah.
How close Epicenter and Taba wind up being on the votes.
Yeah, absolutely. That will be interesting. And you know, you kind of look at those vote totals afterwards and try to figure out what people were thinking and what their process was and everything and how it aligns with what yours was. And this is one of the ones on the whole roster of awards that I'll be curious just to see what the post numbers are for sure.
Yeah, I don't think this is up in the air. I think it's going to be Epicenter, but again, I'm interested to see the totals as they wind up and see who winds up third, because I think in this category, that's kind of fun too. But let's move on to the three-year-old fillies. I think this is probably another slam dunk, and we're going to go back and look at the Alabama, and it's going to be Nest getting it done in the Alabama. Wound up fourth in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, but after winning the Alabama here, won the Beldame, and I thought she had a pretty solid season. So amongst the three-year-old fillies, to me it was Nest in the second spot of Youth Society. Secret Oath certainly had the good early part of the season for D. Wayne Lucas, but after the Kentucky Oaks, it didn't really fall into place for her. So again, for me, I thought the three-year-old fillies side, Nest was the logical.
This was a slam dunk for me with Nest, certainly. Once she wins the Alabama, I thought it was kind of over, because Secret Oath, as much as she did early in the season, it would have been hard for – plus, Secret Oath just looked like she was off form in the second half of the year, whereas Nest was just, like, lighting it up. Don't forget her second in the Belmont, which, you know, there's no shame in that, throwing a filly in there and Pletcher, you know, loved her at that distance. And she held her own in everything. Fourth in the Breeders' Cup Distaff doesn't hurt her, especially considering who she was running against in that race. I went Secret Oath second. I thought she just did enough. I mean, she ran a lot this year.
Yeah.
Just based on the you know, the Kentucky Oaks, and yeah, there was nobody else really besides those two for the top two spots, and Nest was clearly number one. Third place I probably agonized over as much as I did for the three-year-old male, and I just put Echo Zulu in there and didn't love the third-place pick. But the funny thing is with those second and thirds, you know, I should put an egg timer on myself when I'm picking those two spots, especially when there's such a clear-cut winner, you know, on top, because I spent so much time, and ultimately it doesn't matter who you pick second and third when it shakes out. I mean, yeah, you want your 1, 2, 3 to be ranked, and they tell you to rank them that way, and so you're going to follow that process. But ultimately, you know, once the egg timer goes off, I got to tell myself, all right, you're done with this. Just pick somebody for third because nobody cares.
I like that idea because I'm the same way. I do the same agonizing and try to get the right idea in there. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, let's move on to the older dirt male. Well, obviously, this is clearly another slam dunk. We'll watch the Breeders' Cup Classic here, and it'll be Flightline. I have to say, it's tough for me to put a check mark next to a horse that has only run three times in the year, but you can't deny what we saw in those starts. And Flightline was just spectacular and put a nice exclamation point on the Breeders' Cup weekend. And
that's one of the bittersweet things about the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, it occurred to me, you know, this is a West Coast-based horse who ran six lifetime starts, and I saw two of them, which means I basically witnessed, you know, between the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Met Mile, I witnessed 33% of this horse's entire career, and which seems absurd because he only ran six times and only three times this year. Just the nature of those three wins, I think it was by a combined 33 and a half lengths. His 8 1/4 length margin in the Classic was a record by, like, over a length. This was one of the categories, again, when I said I was kind of rating how easy it was to pick each category. I didn't even just put the word easy next to this one. I put easy all the way through, meaning 1, 2, and 3 were very easy to figure out as well. I had Life is Good in second and Olympiad in third. This was one of those ones that I just wrote the names down and didn't really have to look at the PPs very much.
Yeah, I totally agree. I flip-flopped underneath. I went Olympiad and then Life is Good, but I agree. Flightline towered over these, but it was a nice category here. I mean, you also had Hot Rod Charlie had a pretty good year. Cody's Wish was a fun story. So it was
I took a little bit of a look at him.
Yeah, it was certainly a nice...
He just didn't win anything. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, he showed up in all the big ones, and he ran tough every time. He just didn't really win much enough.
No, I agree. But it defined itself as kind of a good older division this year. But, yeah, Flightline just couldn't get past what we saw on the track, which was kind of a once-in-a-generation horse there. As evidenced by the day... did you stick around, and did you go to the sale of the 5% the next day?
No.
Wasn't it $4.3 million?
Me and Gene Kirshner and Tim Wilkin were on our horse very early Sunday morning driving, because we were driving back to Buffalo, and then Wilkin and I were driving from Buffalo to back to Capital Region. So we were trying to get that drive over with. It was my first time ever at Keeneland, and it would have been cool to stick around for the sales and. Yeah, but no, we were on our horse pretty early Sunday morning.
I hear you, but that was incredible. They sell 5% for, I want to say, $4.3 million of Flightline the day, which kind of sealed the fate whether he was going to run again. Well, because the overall value was some crazy, you know, nine figures. So it was going to be hard to put him back on the track again after that. Dirt female, again, kind of a slam dunk in here. And as I mentioned... you know, earlier, it was a nice year in Saratoga with a lot of Eclipse performers having run well in Saratoga, and that included Malathat, but pulled up the Breeders' Cup Distaff victory from her to take a look at. We'll see Malathat get it done. To me, she was an easy bet. I've liked Clarier all year long. I put her second. I put Goodnight Olive third, just kind of searching around, but Malathat stood out.
Yeah, I went Malathat was a no-brainer, slam dunk. Clairière, again, I like you. I really liked her a lot, and it was a terrific rivalry between those two. I threw Blue Stripe in the third spot again. This was a third place one that I didn't really, nothing really had a stranglehold on me to go third. So, and Blue Stripe actually had another nice win. Don't have it in front of me.
The Kalan Hirsch, great one.
But Malathat, she made it easy when she won that race. And I got to tell you, if you were there, I was up in the press box looking down there. I was trying to film it on my phone, and I'll take this opportunity to congratulate our friend Tom Law for winning a Media Eclipse Award yesterday. But he was standing next to me, and if you go back on Twitter and look at my video of the stretch run of the BC Distaff, like right when they hit the wire, all of a sudden the image just goes like scrambling all over the place because Tom was next to me and was like elbowing me in the shoulder and saying, "Did you see that?" Which kind of a reflection of how great that. So I barely caught the finish, and then the gallop out, I got nothing. I think there might be a portion of filming the floor or my hand or something like that from getting jostled at the end of that thing. So that was one of the things we were looking forward to at the Breeders' Cup, and man, it lived up to what. And maybe even exceeded expectations, but it's, you know, solidified a championship season for Malathat, who was terrific all year.
Yeah, bang, 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 Malathat, Blue Stripe, and Clairière. I will take this opportunity to, you know, you congratulated Tom Law, and I will add my congratulations as well. Yeah, Tom wins an Eclipse Award, Media Eclipse Awards being announced yesterday, so that's great. But I'll also give a tip of the cap to Mike Welch, who touted all week long, was touting Blue Stripe.
I was going to bring that up too, Seth, because I was watching the Breeders' Cup breakfast show. I think it was on Thursday or Wednesday, and Gabby Gaudette was interviewing him at the tail end, and she said, "Hey, just for the heck of it, is there anybody you've been watching during the workouts during the week that kind of caught your eye?" And he goes, he kind of reluctantly, because he didn't want to like tell people to go, you know, send it in on this horse, but he said, "You know, this Blue Stripe has looked pretty good," and I can't remember what she went off in the Distaff. It was like 40-something to 1, but man, he crushed that one out of the ballpark.
Yeah, it was a very good call. I had him on the week prior, and he said the same thing. So, all right, let's move on to the male sprint. I'll be interested to see where you go here. This was another one where I'm going to be interested to see.
Yeah,
most of them are slam dunks. I went with Cody's Wish, and I'm not big as a mile as a sprinter. But the win in the Forego at 7 furlongs was enough to tilt towards Cody's Wish for me. And we're going to take a look at the BC Dirt Mile. Cody's Wish is going to win. As they say, the mile to me is not so much defining as a sprinter. But I just, Jackie's Warrior ahead in second, Gunite in third. Which direction did you go in the sprint?
I went Elite Power, Jackie's Warrior, and Cody's Wish. I felt bad about Cody's Wish because I wanted to find a spot for him to win, and this is the only spot he's in. Elite Power, just the way he closed the season, I thought was really impressive. I mean, he took it off the sheet and he won the big one. Jackie's Warrior certainly had the reputation and the resume and the terrific accomplishment at Saratoga. First horse ever to win a grade one at Saratoga 3 years in a row. But I just thought he kind of fizzled at the end. I certainly have no quarrel with Cody's Wish on top. This was a very tricky category, and I just thought the way Elite Power kind of took it off the sheet and then won the big one, that sort of swayed me slightly in his direction. But this was one of those tough categories, one of the few tough categories on the whole slate, and so that's kind of how I justify where I went with that one.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I debated and went back and forth. I'm going to be interested to see a little bit later on how that category shakes out. Female sprinter, I went Goodnight Olive. We'll take a look at the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Sprint. Goodnight Olive gets it done in there to run the record to 4-for-4 for the year. She won the Grade 1 Ballerina before that. So I put her on top. I had Caravelle in second and Matarea third. I have a feeling Goodnight Olive with this win we're looking at here in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Sprint probably is going to attract the attention of the voters. What did you see?
Yeah, this was one of the ones where I needed the egg timer for the second and third place. But Goodnight Olive clearly was head and shoulders above everybody. And she kind of came on late in the season, but was also clearly the best in this division. Excuse me. As Chad Brown explained during the Saratoga meet, she wound up in an allowance race because there was a stakes they were trying to get into that didn't fill. I think it was the Shine Again. And so otherwise she would have been probably an easy stakes winner at Saratoga. But it was kind of circumstantial that she didn't have the really glowing resume. I think she was off for a while. She was actually one of my best bets of the Breeders' Cup weekend. Thankfully supported that opinion. Underneath, again, I mentioned the egg timer. And, I had Echo Zulu and then Wicked Halo. And yeah. This morning I wrote arrows pointing to both of them and saying either way. And like the two that you mentioned certainly were in my mix. And but this was one of those ones that I was just agonizing and finally reached a point where, like, come on, man, we got to pull the trigger one of these days. And so that's kind of where I settled, but I wasn't in love with my second and third picks in this category.
Yeah, Caravelle, the upset winner in that Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, I thought deserved a little bit of recognition there. So I had that one in the mix. But male turf, I'm interested. You kind of alluded to it earlier, but I'm interested to see what direction you go here. Modern Games, again, we showed the Breeders' Cup mile a little bit earlier when we were talking the three-year-olds, and Modern Games wins that. I'd like to see horses go out of the comfort zone or go out of their category, and he beat Older, Woodbine Mile, in the Breeders' Cup mile. So I use Modern Games on top. Rebel's Romance wins the Breeders' Cup turf, so I had that one second, and then I put Annapolis third. I was kind of looking at that turf mile at Keeneland. But I put Modern Games on top. What did you see in the turf mail?
Yeah, I got Modern Games on top too, and it wasn't that hard just because there was nobody else that really had a really solid, sustained campaign over the course of the year among the primarily American-based horses. So, it wasn't really that tough of a call, even though he only ran twice here. And it's another thing that I kind of think about is that, I don't want to give an award to somebody who only ran here once and was primarily based in Europe. It's supposed to be a North American award. But in his case, lacking anybody else, but also his two wins, as you already mentioned, were against Older, and it was Woodbine Mile, and one of them was the Breeders' Cup. Yeah, I put him on top without too much difficulty. I had Rebel's Romance. Again, more a reflection of the dearth of North American-based good turf males this year. And then I figure what the heck, I might as well make it a Charlie Appleby sweep, so I put Nation's Pride in the third place spot.
Yeah, I have no argument with those. The category that would probably for me was the toughest was the female turf, and I went with Warlike Goddess, and I'm going to go back and show the Turf Classic here where she beats the boys. And again, I like to see horses step out of the comfort zone. She faced the boys and won here in the Turf Classic and then tried males again in the Breeders' Cup Turf and wound up running third. So I have Warlike Goddess on top, but I have a feeling it's going to come down to either In Italian or Regal Glory in this category. Which way did you go on the female turf?
I got to admit, I got In Italian on top and Warlike Goddess in second. I threw Bleecker Street. For a while there, Bleecker Street was kind of the buzz horse. And I kind of regret my pick because I picked Warlike Goddess last year on top, and she didn't win. And then this year, I agonized over this category for so long and finally settled on In Italian. She got beat one length in the Breeders' Cup. She's a two-time Grade 1 winner. She beat her, three of her amazing stable mates in the Diana. But I'm kind of second-guessing myself a little bit after going back and looking at the stuff. But, so I put In Italian on top, Warlike Goddess, and then Bleecker Street. But this one I spent more time on than anything else. And again, this kind of speaks to there was a lot of resumes that looked similar, which made it hard to, like, pick a standout. I mean, they're all really, really good horses. And they each did, had at least one moment where they were – you know, really the buzz horse of this division. But push came to shove. Nobody really had that sustained great campaign. And so based on the two grade ones and the, you know, didn't miss by much and, you know, almost held on for the win. I think the comment was grudgingly her second place to Tuesday in the Breeders' Cup, Filly Mare Turf. So that's where I went. But, you know, this is one that I'm going to be thinking about. Ah, you know, you liked Warlike. And I know last year doesn't count, but she had a pretty good year this year, too.
Yeah, I think I'm on the outside looking in, though, with Warlike Goddess. I think it'll come down to one of the Chad horses in Italian or Regal Glory. Our folks may go with Tuesday, but I'm with you. I want to see more than one start in the country because I do think it's an award for our horses. So I'm interested to see this category and the male sprinter were the two tough ones for me. Just before we wrap up on the human side of things, I think Irad is kind of a slam dunk on the jockey side. On the trainer side, I'm going to be very interested to see where folks go because I thought if you looked at the resumes, 2022 resumes, Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher were really evenly matched. I tilted just slightly towards Chad.
Jockeys, I agree with you. Trainers, I spent a lot of time and went through and charted out their grade one wins. I mean, numbers-wise, they're very comparable. I think Chad, the one category that Chad had a decided edge was total graded wins, but grade ones were, the numbers were very similar. Money was a wash. So I went with Todd Pletcher and then Chad Brown. And then Bill Mott, in my third spot, I thought had a sneaky great year. And, you know, not enough to threaten these top two. But I kind of looked at just like the balance of grade one winners for Pletcher was a little, or the, you know, the spectrum of who he had winning those races was a little broader. You know, Chad obviously dominates the turf division, and most of his good horses are turf, not only turf runners, but turf females. And, you know, he did have the Preakness win with early voting, of course. But I went Pletcher, Brown, and then Bill Mott. But this one took a lot of like digging and going back and looking at who won what and who had which horses. You know, the brilliant move by Pletcher putting Nest in the Belmont, even though she didn't win, keeping Life is Good, you know, in monster form throughout the year. And then, you know, running a great race in the BC Classic against a horse he wasn't going to beat and ran it the way he was supposed to. And was courageous in finishing fourth. Malathot, you know, speaks for herself. Mo Donegal, don't forget, won the Belmont before he got shut down for Pletcher. So that all of those things together in total, I thought was little more warranting the award than what Chad did with his stable.
Yeah, I have absolutely no arguments there. And I, like you, I dug in and you're looking at the numbers and who the horses are. And again, who's going to have maybe more eclipse winners if you parse things out and those kind of things.
Right.
And for me, it was razor thin. Another category I will be very interested to see how it breaks out when the vote totals are given out after the awards. Mike, appreciate the conversation, and we'll see how we predicted things in just about an hour or so when the finalists are announced. I'm looking forward to that, but appreciate the conversation this morning. We'll talk again, and once again, I will tell people to check you out in the Daily Gazette. What is the beat? You know, as I say, you're pretty much up in the press box all summer long covering Saratoga.
That's a very nebulous answer. Right now, I don't have any beat work that I'm doing. I'm just sort of like a jack of all trades. I plug in. You know, I pretty much took half of the month of December off with the vacation I had piled up, and now I'm sort of back at it and just kind of sniffing around for features, keeping an eye on what's going on in racing. And but, you know, it's actually not the worst thing in the world to not have any beat work right now, because you wind up being married to these teams and it pretty, you know, kind of dominates your life and schedule. So now I have the flexibility and can kind of sniff around for stuff and look for good enterprise stories and features and stuff. So that's where I'm at right now. But thanks a million for having me on, though.
Appreciate it, as always. And I was just at a little TRF event last night and in Saratoga, and we were talking a little PJ. So maybe we'll see a PJ sometime in the near future.
All right, thanks, Seth. We'll see you around. Desperate Annie's, don't forget.
Absolutely. Our friend Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette with some thoughts on the Eclipse Awards. And again, the finalists are announced in about an hour. We'll take a break, and as promised a little bit earlier, we'll be joined by Brian Addo. We'll do a little quick rundown of today's inaugural Coast-to-Coast Pick 5, which combines racing at Gulfstream and Santa Anita. And as I say, we'll run through that fairly quickly because they're kicking off the pregame show in New York shortly as well with an 11:50 post time at Aqueduct. So all of that coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku, try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, which kicks off the inaugural edition later on today of the Coast to Coast Pick 5 wager. And so thought we'd bring in our friend Brian Addo from Gulfstream to kind of give some ideas maybe on the sequence this afternoon. Brian, good morning.
Hey, Seth. Good to hear from you, buddy. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Everybody back home as well. Good morning.
Same to you. Well, what's our weather look like down at Gulfstream today?
Oh, it's a little brisk this morning, Seth. It's about 70 degrees out. But, and the weather here is beautiful. I mean, Santa Anita obviously remains to be seen. They could have some weather out there. Down here in Hallandale Beach, it is, as my buddy Ron says, a Chamber of Commerce kind of day.
Yeah, you're killing me. A little chilly. A couple days ago, Rainbow got hit. That was fun.
5:33, I believe, is what it was. So, wow, what a score, huh? Just an epic score for someone out there. And it hasn't been easy. There's been several days. Last Sunday, I think there were 6 live tickets to sweep it, and they couldn't get it done. So, golf clap to whoever it was out there that hit it. Man, oh, man, what a score. So, it's back today, $50,000 gross guarantee. It'll probably be 150. They go the under on this a lot for some reason. It'll be a big pool today.
Yeah, again, it was kind of fun to watch the other day. Going back a few weeks, I was really treading water down at Gulfstream, but the last couple of weeks I seem to have clued in. I'm having a little more fun at Gulfstream, so we'll see what we can do today with a couple of races at Gulfstream, 3 out at Santa Anita in that coast-to-coast wager, and I thought we'd just go through the sequence and give out, no ticket, but we'll give out some ideas. And the sequence kicks off in the Ginger Brew, the 9th race today at the Gulfstream. I went 3, 6, 9, and 2, and I'm going to go back and show the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Meditate's going to win. Pleasant Passage runs second, but running third, the number 2 horse is Cairo Consort. Private purchase after this, and interestingly moves into the barn of Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli. So I like that they dipped in and pick this horse up. You can see there in the red cap, had a little bit of traffic. I don't know if there was enough for a big excuse, but I thought coming out of this race, Cairo Concert was maybe a little bit interesting. Again, I have a 3, 6, 9, and 2, but I might push on the 3 in the pick 5. What did you see in the kickoff leg?
Yeah, well, the 6 is out. Anna Karenina is out, so that's a big deal. And I do think, you know, now Cairo Concert, she would have been a strong favorite anyway, but now she'll be even an even bigger favorite. I do want to mention, though, Navy Go. I know the race that she won here was against Florida Breds, and it was on the Tapeta, but it was a really good effort. She was about 5 lengths the best. She had trouble that day, but she has a turf win at Kentucky Downs, and she was pretty impressive doing it. So don't sleep on her. I actually moved her into second, and I'm going to use her on the ticket as well.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with her, but interesting. So there are some ideas in leg one, the Ginger Brew. We move on to race number 4 at Santa Anita. I have a 10, 5, and 3 in there. I used Moose Mitchell on top, and we're going to take a look at an allowance race out at Santa Anita in October. Moose Mitchell is going to be the number 6 horse in here. Subsequent to that was declared a non-starter, and then Del Mar ran an okay third. So again, having run the 6.5 on the downhill course in this race and run a decent third, Moose Mitchell's interesting to me. Again, I was 10-5-3 in that fourth at Santa Anita.
You know, I was going to single Thornhouse. I just kind of feel that Thornhouse's best race is better than this group. Now, we haven't seen him since October. He's been fresh, and I know he didn't run as good on the turf last time as he has on the dirt, but it was his first start. He was 3-5 that day. I'm just going to come back to him because I kind of just feel like at the end of the day, he's better than this group. You know, you're on the other horse, Moose Mitchell, for sure, and Outside Posts are not bad at all down the hill. Yeah. But I'm just going to go with the lightly raced Thornhouse is the best one in here.
Yeah, I don't have any real argument there. In the 11th at Gulfstream, didn't call for a replay in here because I didn't know if those that have raced if there was anything to show. And I have a first-time starter on top. I have an 11, 6, 3, and 7. I put Composer's Dream. I thought there was a little bit of breeding Mike Maker. That said, I don't love the 11. So moving a little further inside, Mooncat I thought could be interesting in the second start. Todd Pletcher as a second-time starter in the 3. And the 7 from Mark Cassie, I thought as another first-time starter, was maybe a little bit interesting. I'd probably use all 4 of mine. I have an 11, 6, 3, and 7, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts in the 11th.
Yeah, I had it 9, 6, 12, Seth. You said it perfectly with the Post. They're just absolutely brutal for the 11 and the 12. The 9 had a real trip last time, and to be beaten just a half length was a testament to his ability. He seems to be on the improve for Brian Lynch, who's sending out live horses on a daily basis, basically. We're going to add Lasix as well. This Post isn't ideal, but it's much better than the 11 and the 12. Mooncat had a little bit of a trip last time, too, and you get a monumental jock switch from Sean Bridgmahan to IRAD. So that's a huge deal. And, you know, the Dam was a runner, too. She was a grade two stakes winner. So I think Mooncat's a major player. You know, I wouldn't argue if anybody thought Jamestown was the best horse in this race, but yikes, this Post is just so problematic. So I'm going to use him. I just don't want to tie too tightly to him.
Yeah, those outside posts. And it's hard to go against because you go against and all of a sudden going into the first turn, the jockey finds you trip. All right, 6th race at Santa Anita will be leg number 4 of the Coast to Coast Pick 5. And here's a throwback. It's a Sunshine Millions race. Sunshine Millions, Philly and Mayor Turf, the downhill 6.5 furlongs. I have it 6, 3, and 2. I put Taming the Tigress on top. We're going to look at Taming the Tigress, get a win back on October 30th, be the number 5 horse. That was 6 furlongs at Santa Anita, but the win over the Santa Anita Turf course, 2 back, and some potential odds attracted me in that direction. So Taming the Tigress, interesting to me. What did you see in the 6th at Santa Anita?
Yeah, I think, you know, Eddie's New Dream is clearly the horse to beat. She's coming out of a great, she's coming out of the matriarch. Now, she didn't do any running that day, but then you look at the race 2 back down the hill in the California Distaff. It was a powerful powerful effort. She's 2 for 3 at the distance. So I think she's the horse to beat. Alice Marble is certainly a major contender. If you want to get really creative, Seth, and you want to take a real flyer, if you've got the availability on your ticket, Sunshine Babe is interesting. You get Hector Barrios, who was aboard the last two starts. Her race 2 back was not terrible. Her race down the hill 3 back was not terrible, and she seemed to really improve last time. Maybe it was the mile, and I understand we're cutting back here, but that was a fast race for the kind of level, and that puts her in the mix here. If you're really thinking outside the box, Sunshine Babe could blow this up if you want to add someone to a couple of favorites.
20-1, I like it. All right, let's take a look at the finale, the final leg, which is race 8 at Santa Anita. And I pulled up a replay of Quickly Park It. We're going to go back to Golden Gate at the end of October. Subsequently put in a poor performance at a stake at Del Mar. But going back to this Golden Gate race, we're looking at 8-1. And I thought at the price, this horse is a little bit interesting. Quickly Park It is the number 7 horse here, getting it done pretty easily. I have it 7, 4, 9, and 8. What did you see in the Cal Cup Oaks?
You know, I was looking at Carol Lombard down inside. I thought her turf race last time, stretching out to a mile, was a marked improved effort. I mean, you know, and she's going to be drawn inside, is going to save all the ground. And it seems to me she has a world of upside. And whoever you like in this spot, set, they're no faster than really a length or two of anybody else. And I thought she was very, very interesting and playable for Phil D'Amato down in there. I mean, you look at that race last time, boy, it was really, really strong. Certainly Quickly Park It on the drop out of open stakes races. I mean, how is she going to be 8-1? I mean, she's probably going to be 3-1 in this race, but she looks to me like the one to be, and certainly Sell the Dream is going to be even a shorter price with Pratt in a little better post today. Those are the three I saw, but I'm going to get a little aggressive with Carol Lombard. The horse I would be willing to fade, Seth, is I understand Cast Member is undefeated. Those are all 3 dirt starts, and they weren't overly quick either. I'm willing to make her prove it today, especially from the wide draw.
Very good. So there are some ideas as we kick off the Coast to Coast Pick 5. Races at Gulfstream, races at Santa Anita should be fun in the inaugural edition this afternoon. And Brian, as always, appreciate the visit, and we will be tuned in pre-game show and the paddock commentary as well this afternoon and beyond. So have a great day down at Gulfstream.
Hey, buddy, it's always good to hear from you. Happy New Year, and everyone back home as well. Stay warm, and I'll be seeing you down here, right? Florida Derby?
We are looking forward to the trip, believe me, because I'm happy with those chilly 77-degree temperatures.
I can't wait, Seth. Looking forward to it. Hi to everybody back home.
Appreciate it. Brian Addo, again, from Gulfstream Park, going over a little bit of the inaugural Coast to Coast Pick 5 today. All right, they're underway, the pregame show, with the 11:50 post time at Aqueduct, so I'll wrap it up. But we mentioned it earlier on both the handicapping show and earlier with Mike McAdam. I want to congratulate our buddy Tom Law on an Eclipse Award. He was won a News Enterprise Writing Award for Big Tally, which was published in the Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred. Also winning the Photography Award, Wendy Woolley, Tim Layden, who started the career here in the Capital District but now works for NBC Sports, also won a Writing Award, Live Television, NBC's Breeders' Cup. They're the gorilla in the room as far as that category is considered. They also won for feature television programming, NBC Sports. But audio and multimedia, Horse Racing Radio Network, our friend Mike Penna wins an Eclipse Award, another Eclipse Award for his Breeders' Cup coverage, the Horse Racing Radio Network Breeders' Cup coverage. So again, congratulations to all the Media Eclipse Award winners, which were announced yesterday, but particularly our buddy Tom Law, local, brings an Eclipse Award right up here to the Capital Saratoga area. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. As noted, the pregame show in New York is underway, so we'll send you to that. I'll be back in an hour or so, a little less than an hour, at 11:50 post time in New York to kind of kick off and run through the afternoon with OTB Live. Don't forget, here at the Clubhouse Racebook today, we will have a $200 Coast to Coast Pick 5 bankroll. So we'll be playing into that Coast to Coast wager today. Should be fun. Come on down between 11:30 and 2:30 to the Clubhouse Racebook and join us, and you can put your name in the hat between 11:30 and 2:30. We'll select the team, and everybody will split up the winnings, should there be winnings, and we're hoping for it. We want to make contact here with the Coast to Coast Pick 5. So, again, stop down and join us. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. But, again, I will wrap it up. We'll go to the Naira pregame and be looking at a little Naira this afternoon and some Gulfstream as well, probably some Oaklawn. And speaking of Gulfstream, thanks to Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. All right, Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Again, we'll be back in an hour or so with OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of